back at WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. It is a Chicago week around here. I'm hoping to slug my bag through Michigan Avenue in the Midway and O'Hare on this trip. But before we do that, we're going to be having some crab cakes, all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We're going to let ourselves play on Wednesday with our mayor, Brandon Scott. We're going to be joining him at noon at Coco's. Long-awaited appointment with him. Corey McCray, our senator, is going to join us. There's a word, we're going to have some dignitaries from Coppin State, our flagship, as well as sports cartoonist Mike Rosigliano. We will be celebrating the Crab Cake Tour in Abingdon next Friday on Black Friday at Conrad's Crabs, where I've had some crabs, but never a crab cake. And the Crab Cake Tour ambles on. You know, if I were in Chicago, I'd be having a deep dish pizza tour right now. It'd be North Side versus South Side, Cubs versus White Sox. I live that life, and I didn't know what the hell I was getting myself into back at the turn of the century when One-on-One Sports hired me to be their afternoon sports drive guy, and then I became the sporting news radio drive guy. Then I was unceremoniously fired and lied to. But it was 20 years ago, and I'm over it. This guy was one of the executive producers there. I don't know that he produced more than a handful of shows for me on a fill-in basis because he was always so busy working on the morning show and a weekend show and the executive producership. He's got a new book out. He is Mr. Chicago sports producer, dude. And he's been my friend for about half of my life now. We welcome Randy Merkin onto the show. Dude, you do fireside chats on the internet. You do storytelling. You do all this stuff. And I invite you on and you act like Mr. Humble, like you don't get invited on the show. I mean, you've done radio your whole life.
No, it's true, Nestor. But, you know, this is a pleasure to be on with you. And you're right. We've been friends a very long time. And boy, when you were at 101 Sports, the one thing you always brought was energy. I mean, every show you did, you could tell from the minute you started, you were into it. So it was always a pleasure working with you, buddy. It's good to catch up with you. And I love seeing what you're doing in Baltimore. You and your wife. Have really created quite a little niche out there, and I'm proud of you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. What are you doing these days? I mean, I introduce you as the guy who worked in Northbrook. When I was there, you were there. When I would show up, you would show up. When I would leave, you would stay. And, you know, and I would fly in and out. And Papa Joe loved that because it got him a home in Vegas before we passed. And right. I'm out in Chicago this week, and I'm coming back out, and it's been almost 21 years since I departed after 3.5 years of flying in and out and having a great time and making these life of relationships. But every time I go back to Chicago, I think of my time there and what an incredible sports town it is. And like you've had a gig there, straw stirring the drink since the days of, you know, Dick and Jordan, literally.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I started sporting news radio. It's called 101 Sports. When it first started in 1994 in Northbrook, okay? And we literally had a table, okay, with the producer, the host had a microphone. That was it. It was just a microphone. And then I sat on the other side with myself, a couple other guys like Todd Bradley. We had this little board, and I don't know how many affiliates we had, but at least once a day, someone would kick out the outlet, and we would knock all the affiliates off because there was like a power strip. That's how archaic things were back then. But listen, it came a long way. When you jumped on board, I think things were really starting to cook. For years, I produced Sports Saturday, Sports Sunday around the NFL, College Football Today, which was on the weekends. I loved it. I mean,
Bruce Murray,
Bob Berger. I mean,
great guys.
The best. We'd go from game to game. Nestor, you knew this. We traveled everywhere. We were at Final Fours. We were at Super Bowls. We were at the Kentucky Derby, NFL Draft. It was just an amazing run at 101 Sports Sporting News Radio. I think I was there from 1994 to like 2007. Okay. And then when they went to Los Angeles, I didn't go. I just had my twins. So it was a perfect time for me to leave Sporting News. Started ESPN Radio.
So your twins are like 14 now.
14. Wow. Look at you with the math.
Man, you're so parental. You know what yes. I mean? Like, and yes. I was a parent when I was there, and none of you ever saw me as parental.
Very.
Until I brought my kid. Yes. My kid hung out in everybody's office yes. in Chicago.
Absolutely. So I've been at ESPN since then. I started off as Waddle and Sylvie's producer, Tom Waddle, former Bear. And then I was there, like, I was their producer for 6 years, became like assistant program director. Now my official title is operations director. I produced the show from 10 to noon, but.
In your time though, yeah. you're like sort of pissing down the way. Hold on here. Cubs win the World Series. White Sox win a World Series. Yep. Blackhawks win several Stanley Cups and have this scandal. Bears go to a Super Bowl, and the Bears still sort of rule the place. And then there's the whole residue of the Bulls, and I guess whatever the aftermath of that is. But when I come to Chicago, especially on a Saturday this week, you know, Big Ten football and Notre Dame, and you know, all it's such DePaul and Northwestern. It's such a sports place, you know what I mean? And listen, I'm from Baltimore. We always thought F New York, F Boston, Washington, Washington, we call Washington ain't never going to get a new baseball team. They can't support baseball down in Washington, because I remember talking like that 30 years ago, and now they want to work. We're sports and sports towns, and that heartbeat of what goes on. There's never a time when I'm an hour late over in Midway, as I was a month ago, that I don't feel the sports vibe of Chicago.
Absolutely. And you are right about one thing. This is a Bears town. I mean, the Bears still rule this town. The Sox were great this year. The Cubs had a 4 or 5 year run where everyone was into it, but if the Bears are good, it's just a different vibe right now. And this, you know, and even though they stink, they're 3-6. Justin Fields, the way he's playing football right now, has everyone so psyched because they actually think we finally have a quarterback. I mean, Nestor, when's the last time the Bears had a good quarterback? And don't give me Sid Luckman or Bobby Douglas. I mean, Jay Cutler was okay for a couple years, but everyone thinks that Justin Fields is legit. A starting quarterback that could actually lead the Bears to the Super Bowl. And, you know, we're going to look across the sideline and see Lamar Jackson, who won an MVP a couple of years ago. And, you know, if it wasn't from getting shocked by the Titans in that first playoff game, everyone thought you guys were going to the Super Bowl that year. But I think that's what Bears fans want Justin Fields to be, as a guy like Lamar Jackson, who can do so many different things on the field and still is getting better, in my opinion, can still be a better quarterback. But no, I mean, you're right about Chicago though. It's a hotbed of sports and there's so many different fan bases here. But I'm telling you, if the Bears are good, it's just a different vibe in this city.
Randy Merkin has been my friend for a long time. He's got a new book called The Behind the Glass Story from a Sports Radio Producer. Hold that book up. Talk about your book a little bit, Rand.
Yeah. So Nestor, you brought up that I was doing, kind of like fireside chats. I was telling guest booking stories, and you've seen it in person, me book guests, how I do it. So maybe the second or third story I did, Rick Camper, who runs Eckhart's Press, reached out to me and said, these stories make a great book. So I'm like, I have no idea. You've written many books. I've never written one. So I reached out to him and I said, I'd love to do it. And he said, why don't you write 3 stories, send them to me, and I'll tell you if it works or not. So I wrote 3 stories. He said, this is gold. Let's do it. Took me like over a year and a half to complete the book. You know, it's all my great, not all of them, but a lot of my really good guest booking stories. Some failures, a lot of, you know, success, but how I booked them. And I think people are going to be shocked because everyone knows what we do, Nestor. You know, like, hey, you're in sports media, you know, but no one really knows how we do it. You know, everyone just thinks, oh, okay, yeah, you get Barkley on. Okay, cool. Like, no one knows how we do it. When I used to get George.
You got Barkley on my show, or Cliff Saunders did. I still have. So I have all the tapes, right, from 30 years ago. And I'm in the same position. I mean, I've dedicated my life to this. And obviously, the last couple of years, I've changed things. I mean, I have the mayor this week. I had the governor last month. I mean, I'm talking to lots of different people. I'm chasing little Steven around for his book and of E Street. And, you know, I have musicians. I had Jake Shimabukuro on last week, the most famous ukulele player in the world, you know. So, like, I'm mixing things up. But the sports side of this for me, and let's talk about how the sausage is made, or, you know, on the north side, I have found that it has been a depreciating issue and asset over 20 years, other than old relationships of people to come on. But current players were born at 12 being great, were always told the media was the enemy. They've been told that by their high school coach, their college coach, their agent, the NFL team, their NFL coach, they're like, no one wants to talk anymore. And I've been shut out for the last 2 years. Now, I haven't talked to a football player in 2 years because of the plague. That sports was much more collegial in the 90s when we began, where every college basketball coach wanted to come on the show because they wanted to promote their program and promote themselves. There's not a whole lot left of self-promotion that doesn't come on Instagram in the way of a social influencer and, hey, talk to my agent, give him 25 grand and I'll come on your show for 5 minutes.
Right. No, I think, you know, you bring up a good point. I think that the main difference I've noticed, Nestor, is that there's such a saturation of media now that it's like everyone is asking these people to come on. And I think it's overwhelming at times. But you brought up a really good point, and I think it still comes down to, it's all about relationships. Like, if you have a strong relationship with someone, regardless if they're getting a lot of requests, most likely they're going to probably try to honor your request because of the relationship you have. But it has become a lot different. It is definitely a lot different than it was when we first started, you know, in the mid 90s. When you were booking a guest, you were calling a lot of guys in hotel rooms, you know, and finding hotels or finding, you know, creative ways to book guests back then.
I could never do my job right now because I am my own executive producer. Text has made everything one reach, one back, one Zoom. You and I didn't call each other to book you on the show. I text you, you text me back, we do it. That has become a seamless. I mean, my show's better than it's ever been because I'm not taking phone calls from a-holes, sanctioning crazy talk. And in the modern era, I think people want something intelligent, and that takes... it takes time. It takes more than a 4 minute conversation or 5 minutes. The type of stuff that I did 25 years ago about this game, this day, just different conversations these days. And I think sports radio's changed from 2020 reports and here's the traffic report and all of those things that I think people come to conversations and podcasts for different reasons.
Yeah, no question about it. But, you know, I still think there's a platform out there, Nestor, for good sports radio and compelling content. You know, it's just changed, you know, and listen, we all know it, you know, you've changed, right? I mean, you just got to change the times. That's all. And I still find it, I still come every day to work, excited to win the day and excited to get that big guest or excited to get that big story, to cover the big story. So, you know, it just changes. That's all. But I still love what I do. I know you still, I mean, look at the passion you have, man. So, you just got to adapt with the times. That's all. And, listen, I'm just excited for the Bears to actually face a good team this week and try to beat the Ravens. I mean, the Ravens had a lousy game last week. That was awful. I kind of had a feeling they were going to be bad, but boy, was that was shocking the way they played that game.
Well, it's bad and then being good enough. You think with Lamar in the third quarter, he's just going to get into the phone booth and put the cape on and, right, you know, come out and sort of save the day. And that's sort of dangerous. You know, the amount that he's been running, the offensive line not being any good. Le'Veon Bell looks like he's running in quicksand. So they're not as good as they've been on offense. And this is going to be a different challenge for them. Hey, after this, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Cleveland. I mean, that's sort of where Cincinnati, that's where this thing's going into December. This is sort of the last JV squad. And I don't know that they're going to run into the JV squad out there in Chicago this week. Randy Merkin's our guest. He's been a sports producer forever. Give me a little Bears primer on what the Ravens are going to see here, because optimism always sort of runs high with the Bears. As we've pointed out, everyone loves them and wants them to do well. They're always a disappointment though, right? And this quarterbacking thing continues to be this holy grail y'all chase.
Right. No, I would say that you're getting a team that's got a little more confidence now. You know, they played terrible in the first half against Steelers on Monday night, and Justin Fields came out in the second half and was sensational. Played great, made some insane throws. Really took control of that game. And I think, you know, there was a couple really bad calls. The taunting call against Cassius Marsh really changed the game. But what you're going to see this week, Nestor, I think is a much better quarterback in Justin Fields than he was 2 or 3 weeks ago. A much more polished offense than you probably would have seen 2 or 3 weeks ago. The biggest concern for me right now is the Bears defense, because Khalil Mack has not played in a couple weeks. Keem Hicks has been in and out of action a lot, and they've had some injuries on the back half of that defense. So, the defense, as you know, which has been the stalemate for Chicago for a long time, is getting a little older. All right. Mac has not been as he's been good this year, but he has not been healthy. If we can get Khalil Mack off the bye week, ready to go this week, and Hicks comes back healthy, I think you're going to see a really, really tough Bears team. Now, Matt Nagy, who is under fire this year, you know, as a Bears coach, has not had a great run this year, is not great off the bye week, especially against good teams like the Baltimore Ravens are. And John Harbaugh is a really good coach. So I would think the Ravens will probably win this game, but I think you're going to see a Bears team that is on the rise finally, especially with Justin Fields. I don't know if Matt Nagy's going to be the coach next year, but Justin Fields is going to be here for a while. And that's the most exciting part about this team right now.
Randy Merkin is in Chicago. I hope to, last time I was there, I was there in the dead of winter, 10 degrees. I was going up to Milwaukee to see Bob Seger on a very, very cold January night. The Ravens had just been eliminated unceremoniously by the Chargers, as I remember. And it was a detour for me to say, well, if the Ravens season's over, I'm going to go to Milwaukee and use 5,000 points and fly into Chicago, see some friends. Chet Kopic was invited and accepted my invitation to meet at Pequod's, not the one by Wrigley. I'm talking to one north of O'Hare.
Right.
Yeah, and the neighborhood. And, there was a foot of ice on the ground, and Chet called and said, can't make it, didn't make it. I never saw Chet again. We lost Chet since the last time. And the last time the Ravens played in Chicago 8 years ago, we had a big party down on the river for Ravens fans. My book had just come out, Purple Rain 2. We had just won the Super Bowl. And Chet was there, and we had pictures and fun. And some of the other Chicago friends came out from Sporting News. My time there and like all the years and how hard you and all the young people worked there. By the way, my son's 37 now, to give you a little perspective on little Barry, just so you know.
Yeah.
You wrote a book on sports producing and you do this work. And I have a new website at Baltimore Positive, and I have a WNST Classic place where the first 30th anniversary is the 13th of December. So we're going to begin a celebration, a year-long celebration of 30 years. And I found all of my old tapes, cassette tapes. In your case, when Baldinger and I would do Monster Monday, they would give me VHS tapes.
Yes.
VHS tapes. So I have them all, right? So I've digitized most of it. I have mini discs that Lonnie Willems made of all the interviews I did, and some of them are missing. Like, I can't find John Wooden. I probably should talk to you. You might be the archivist. I can't find John Wooden called me on our birthday, and I don't have it. And Lonnie made that happen. Bernard Bikini, who's on the show all the time. Yeah. Cliff Saunders has been on from time to time, but Bernard's a regular character here on my show through the Cleveland Browns and all of that. But every single picture that is on my website, and I'm going back 30 years, whether it's me with Earl Weaver or Tony Gwynn, or whether it's me with Milton Berle or with Jimmy Buffett or with Bruce Springsteen or any of this, every single picture, every interview, whether it's Charles Barkley, and I have that up, all of these things that I have archived and put into my vault of all the interviews I've ever done, every one of them came with somebody like you, bugging Barkley in the hotel room, poor Cliff, poor Bernard, Justin Hess, Ray Bachman on my side, Andy Mueller, my incredible producers, Ryan Chell through the years, calling guests and making these things happen. You've now got a book. I'll just say, as a guy who's done 30,000 hours of radio in my career, literally, and relied on a lot of guests and a lot of guest booking, every single one of them has like some wild story about how Terry Bradshaw wound up sitting next to me, right? And right. You have now been asked to, I can't imagine like the stories I would have about how it happened. I actually have, here's the 12 minutes of me talking to, you know, the commissioner of the NHL in a lobby and Mickey Mantle's or whatever. But like the story behind the story is even better as to how it ever happens.
Right. And that's why I decided to do it. And, you know, when I first started doing the stories on Twitter and on Facebook, I didn't think I was going to get that big a response. And the first one I did was George Steinbrenner when I woke him up in the hotel room, you know, and he yelled at me, but he came on the next day and I got a huge response. I'm like, all right, maybe people are interested in this stuff. And you're right. I mean, it just, there's so many stories in this book, and you can get the book at behindtheglassthebook.com. And it's just, it tells basically a backstory as you're you know, talking about, like, how difficult it is to book a guest. It's not that easy. It's a lot of fun. And, you know, the one thing, I always, my philosophy, and I don't know if Mark Jenskow there when you were there?
He was indeed. He brought me to Chicago. Yes.
He taught me a lot about guest booking. I saw him firsthand. He used to be Chet's producer, and he always told me, Randy, it's all about relationships. And it's also like, and one thing I've done throughout my whole career, like, you know, it's how you treat people. If someone says no, they say no and you move on. Like, never treat people poorly. Maybe down the road you'll try them again and they'll come on that time because the way you treated them last time. So I've always done that.
I am sure you were treated very, very poorly on more than one occasion.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And a couple of them are in the book, but, like, you know, you move on. Like, and, you know, and what's the worst? Yeah, Nestor, someone's yelling at you, right? Over the phone. Okay. I can deal with that. And, you know, I think it was Mark who told me also that you're not doing your job as a producer if you're not getting yelled at some point. You know, you're pushing the envelope a little bit.
Maybe if you're only calling people that are going to say yes,
right?
How good's your show going
to
be?
Right. I mean, and to me, and I'm sure it's the same with you, the coolest thing was the breaking stories, man. That was, you know, when something was going down and you got that big guest on to commit to come on, and you know, it was just great. So, yeah, there's tons of great stories in here from all different sports, celebrities. You know, my Jack Lemmon story, I love that.
Give me a Jack Lemmon story, because I dropped Milton Berle because I have a picture with Uncle Milty that I took at the World Series in San Diego. He's wearing his Yankee hat and he had a stogie, and he was very frail and needed help. Like, he needed people to move him around a little bit. But, you know, you don't forget when you meet Milton Berle. You don't forget when you chase Jack Lemmon to come on the show.
Right, right. So Jack Lemmon, Bob Berger and Bruce Murray, who I was producing for at the time, loved Jack Lemmon. Okay. They loved all his work, and they always used to bug me every year because at Pebble Beach, Jack Lemmon always tried to make the cut. He always played with, I think, Peter Jacobson or someone, but, so I'd always try the hotel, and they'd always say he has a do not disturb or he wasn't listed. So there's one year, I think it was like 95, 96, where, there was a long rain delay. So I knew they were all going back to their hotel rooms. Okay. And they were staying at the lodge. I called up the hotel and I said, Jack Lemmon's room, please. And she's like, you know what? He's got a do not disturb on. And I'm like, listen, he's in his room. He's not doing anything. Can you just ring his room for me? Tell him it's Randy with National Sports Radio. And she's like, I probably shouldn't do it, but I'll do it anyways. And she rang it and he answered. He's like, you know, he sounded like my grandfather. He's like, hello. And I'm like, hey, Mr. Lemmon, it's Randy calling with 101 Sports is the national radio network. Any chance you'd be willing to come on with my guys? They're both huge fans of yours. He's like, oh, sure, absolutely. So, you know, they had no idea I was even calling them. So they're in the middle of some sort of conversation. I just type up on the screen, Jack Lemmon now. We had this button. I don't know if you remember. It was like a look up. It was this red flashing thing.
Absolutely, man.
And they look and they're like, and they're both kind of like shocked. They go to him and they spend like 8 minutes with him, talking about all of his great movies and getting ready for a certain role. And he was, you know, really good and possibly making the cut. Get done with the interview. I just pick up to say, thank you. You know, can't thank you enough, Mr. Lemmon. And he just goes, okie dokie. And that was it. So this is what you expected from Jack Lemmon, right? I mean, so yeah, that was a cool story. And you know what? It meant more to my host, the Bob and Bruce, than it did to me, but they were so psyched.
They still have the tape.
I'm sure they do. Yeah, they, I mean,
dude, I bugged the hell out of Ray Bachman to get Maureen McCormick on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Marsha Brady.
Sure.
And when I got engaged, Ray went on a rampage, and we would do mystery guests. Like, it was after 20 years on radio, like, I'm like, I don't want to know who's coming on. Just surprise me. You know what I mean? Be better that way. And like, I look up on the glass and Bob Eubanks is on the glass, and I'm like, and he booked Bob Eubanks to give me newlywed advice. And then an hour later, Maureen McCormick called in. He put Maureen McCormick on the glass, and I'm like, we've been trying for 10 years to get her on. Like, and she came on and could not have been more magnanimous. Yeah. But I mean, it is crazy when you ask people to come on. I was on the field and I was a producer myself at World Series and stuff, trying to get guests back to my station. And I went up to Tony Bennett in San Francisco at the 2002 World Series. He was practicing singing I Left My Heart in San Francisco. There's nobody in the stadium. I mean, it's before BP. I'm there early, East Coast, West Coast, because, you know, it was a West Coast game. It was middle of the day. And I walked up to Tony Bennett and said, "Mr. Bennett, will you come on the show?" "Sure, I'll come on the show." And he came on with Bob Haney for 8 minutes. And,
that's great.
And I'm like, but you just ask. I had Donna Summer on the show from Boston one time. So, you know, these all-star games and celebrities, it's different now. I think it's different being handled by PR. Yeah. And right. PR is a stop sign, not a helper. They're not there to help you do your job. They're there to keep you out. It's a do not disturb. And I found that to be, I wouldn't want your gig. I wouldn't want to hire you or the young little Randy and say, start calling people and book them, get them on for me. I think it's very difficult in the modern era. I think with athletes, not maybe with actors or handle people or guys like you that have a book coming out, right? Right. But I think in the modern era, trying to do NFL Monster Monday right now and thinking we're going to get players on and coaches on a Monday, I just don't think I think the league has a wrap on that, and it's league owned and operated, and we're going into a new place for people like you and I that have done what we've done for most of our lives.
I miss those days, Nestor. Monster Mondays, those were the best.
You booked it all. You never got Tom Brady on, damn you.
No, never got Tom Brady. No. I still texted him after they won the first Super Bowl, though.
Man. Well, I hope you sell a million books, dude.
Thanks, and, man. So
for Chicago, give me if I'm coming in, and I trust you implicitly, I'm going to go to Pequot's because I love the people. Where are your places in Chicago? Like, where are Merkins? If you and I were going to just tell producer stories and drop names for 4 hours, we're going to walk Chicago. Yeah. Where would you take me?
Well, I live in the suburbs, Nestor, and I'm like an old man. So I don't go to the city very much, but when I do go to the city, I go to the best restaurant in the city. Okay.
Okay. Here we go. I've got notes.
Chicago Cut Steakhouse. You want to see celebrities and you want the best food, great bar, great atmosphere, right on the river on LaSalle.
Okay.
I mean, you'll love it there. Okay. And, that's the best place. That's the one place I can tell you, if you really want a good meal, great atmosphere, Chicago Cut Steakhouse. That's the place.
That's it. Done. All right, man. I asked for advice and I get it. Hold your book up again, Rand. Tell everybody where to find your book again.
Okay. BehindTheGlassTheBook.com. BehindTheGlassTheBook.com. There you go.
Well, if you hate Steinbrenner, I mean, everybody in Baltimore would have that. Any Baltimore connections in there? Any Cal Jim Ripken. Harbaugh? Cal Ripken. All right. Good.
John Maroon's the man. He helped me out all the time getting Cal Ripken. So
I talked to John this week. So absolutely, man. John's still a Baltimore legend around here.
Absolutely.
Hey, Randy, take care of yourself. And it's really good to have you on the show and visit with you. And thank you for booking whatever awesome stuff that you booked for me years ago. And I know you did. And I have all the tapes. So, except the John Wooden tape. Somebody got to find that for me. All right.
Hey, it's great talking to you, buddy. Love seeing the energy you still have, and my best to your family. Okay.
Thank you. Same to you, brother. 14-year-old twins, 37-year-old parent. Oh, my God.
Unbelievable.
Randy Merkin, my former producer at 101 Sports and Sporting News Radio Flash. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson Boulder. You know, Randy, the best part is I don't have the shot clock here and the thing winding me down. Three. People wonder why I'm like such a like dedicated radio stickler guy. It's because I work for good people like you. We are Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.